You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Times Higher Education podcast and another of our General Election 2019 specials. I'm Naomi Furst and today I will be speaking with a group of students and student representatives about their thoughts on the imminent December 12th election. So joining me today in the THE headquarters are Joe Vinson, Commercial Services Officer and Director of Queen Mary Student Union Services at Queen Mary University of London, Atiyab Rashid, student at King's College London and Vice President of King's College London Liberal Democrat Society, Carol Page, Democracy Operations and Community Officer at Students Union UCL, and Beau Jacob Strom, student at the London School of Economics and Political Science and volunteer with the UK Student Climate Network, as well as participating in the LSE Climate Emergency Collective. Welcome, all of you, and thank you for being here. So, this is a bit of a whirlwind election. There was a lot of will they, won't they, before the election was finally agreed to in Parliament. And it's really only a few weeks since Parliament was dissolved on 6th November and election campaigning began. But what do students make of all of this? Jo, I'm going to start with you. Have students welcomed this general election?
I think in part students are pleased about the general election. I think, I think it's always good for students on campus to have their voice heard in a general election and to choose who their representatives are in Westminster. I think this election has been a long time coming, so I think students have been thinking about it for a long time. And I would say that although Brexit is a big issue for the general election, I think a lot of students are looking at other issues such as climate change and financial support and that kind of stuff much more closely than people give credit for.
Okay, interesting. And so after the elections, we do often hear about poor turnout rates for young people. After the 2017 election, while there was an increase in youth turnout, YouGov reported that 57% of 18 and 19-year-olds voted, while for those aged 70-plus, the figure was 84%. Atiyab, for this election, do you get a sense that voting is important for students? Do they see it as a civic duty? Are they engaged?
I think generally I take the view that students, there is somewhat of a bifurcation between students. Some people are very, very involved in the election. Lots of people want to get their party elected, but then there are some students who generally aren't so engaged, aren't so eager to vote. And so, you know, I've spoken to some students, they know exactly who they're voting for, they've been out campaigning, and then I've spoken to some students who don't even know which constituencies they live in or who's standing in that. Obviously, we do get the impression that, especially at my university at King's, there are a lot of international students who can't vote, so there's an issue there. But also, there are lots of people who want to vote and feel that this general election is an opportunity for them to voice their opinions on the current government and whichever parties are running.
Okay. So this election has also seen a big push in getting students to register to vote, which you're kind of touching on there, Atiyab. And at the beginning of the election period, in the news we heard about the campaign group Vote for Your Future. They did a survey with some help from THE into what universities were doing to help students register to vote, and they concluded basically that not enough really from a lot of them. But since then there does seem to have been quite a big drive towards getting students and young people to register. And of course the deadline for vote registration has passed now, that was 26th November. But now the same campaign group that was campaigning to register students is saying that it's been the highest youth registration in history. So that sounds like good news. Now, Carol, I understand that UCL Students' Union undertook some rather original initiatives to encourage students to register to vote. So can you tell us a bit about that?
Yes, what you're probably referring to as our Goats for Votes.
Yes.
Event that we had on the, oh, I can't remember the date, a few weeks ago, I'll just leave it at that. And so we invited Spitalfield City Farm to bring over two goats Juniper and I believe Sally, and they came over, and so it's because of the like the rhyming, and also the reason why we linked goats with registering to vote is that they're in the EU referendum voter registration run-up. There was this kind of popular goat gif that you had to click on, and then it was if you've had enough time to look at this goat gif, then you've got enough time to register to vote. And so since 2016, there's always been that connection, and also in the US, there's a go out. I think it's go and get the vote or go out and get the vote. And so that's kind of often referred to as GOAT. And so that's why, also GOAT, and so that's why we had the GOATs for votes. We had about 300 students in a 2-hour period, just all like looking at these goats, stroking them. And whilst we had the goats in one area, immediately next to it, we had some banners with QR codes for students to scan. And so that they could register to vote then and then. A lot of the students we talked to there already had been registered to vote, but we did have a few registrations on the day, which was really exciting. So that was on the Tuesday, and the Friday after that, on the 22nd of November, we had a London Students' Assembly, our political voice event, in which we invited political candidates from across London, across loads of different London constituencies, as well as the student unions from other London universities, as well as UCL, to really kind of engage students in saying, look, we've got, we recognise that UCL students and London students aren't just in one constituency, they are across a whole, others across the capital. And so that was also a really good event. We had like a few hundred people there as well. So.
Okay, so you found that the events were quite successful.
Yes.
Students were interested.
Yeah, they were super engaged as well.
Jay, you wanted to...
Yeah, I think it's important to say as well, for the last couple of elections, obviously the way students have had to register to vote has changed.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last couple of years, and particularly actually in the last couple of months, you could see how many people were registering to vote every day in each age group and that kind of thing. But unfortunately, the Conservative Liberal Democrat coalition, when it was in power, changed the voting system so that it was individual electoral registration. So people had to sign up individually of themselves. But before that, universities could sign up all of their students who were in halls of residence, for example, to already be registered to vote. So it was much easier to get students to turn out to vote later on when the general election actually happened, because they were already registered and you didn't have to focus so much on that. But now, because that's not allowed and the universities aren't allowed to do that, we have to make big efforts to register individuals all the time on campus. So at Queen Mary, for example, although we've had a big concerted effort now, we have to do it at freshers' fairs, we have to do it at refreshers' fairs every single time we interact with students, because otherwise loads of people just end up not being registered to vote and actually don't realise they're not registered to vote either.
So that's just a standard part now of Freshers' Week, really?
Yeah, it's a standard part of interacting with students at any mass event now, because otherwise we just don't get them registered in time to vote. And it's not just general elections, it's in London, it's the mayoral elections and assembly, it's the local council elections, European elections, we may still have them afterwards, who knows. So it was definitely made harder, and the cynical part of me thinks that perhaps it was because students weren't necessarily going to vote for those two particular parties anymore.
Okay. So let's move on to talk about the priorities for students in this election. So Bo, you're an organiser or a volunteer with the UK Students Climate Network. So I presume climate and environmental issues are a top priority for you. But is that something you feel is reflected in the wider student body?
I think it definitely is. And that statistic you quoted about this being the highest number of student registrations is very unsurprising to me. Because particularly first-year students, this might be the first time you're enfranchised to vote on the issue that has completely preoccupied the minds of huge numbers of young people. Because, you know, young people can see that we have to use every avenue open to us to push this issue forward, and having the possibility to vote means that that is one potential avenue, even though it's not the only one that we can take. So I'm very unsurprised at that, and I think it's hopefully going to show up in the results.
Okay, and so have you seen a lot of support on campuses for climate issues, for environmental issues?
I definitely think so. We just, at the most recent climate strike, we had huge blocks coming down from UCL and LSE, King's Queen Mary, all the London universities. And I think just in everyday conversations, it really shows up. I think you have, people are thinking of this as the Brexit election. It's very much for young people, this is the climate election. And when talking to students from across the political spectrum, that really shows up, and people are really thinking hard about analysing the manifesto commitments of the parties, and that shows up. Like, so I've talked to Labour voters that are pleased with the 2030 deadline, but, you know, want them to be harder on airport expansion and coal extraction. I've talked to Lib Dem voters who are very unhappy with the 2045 decarbonisation deadline that the Lib Dems have set, and, you know, are thinking of, in their constituencies, looking at what other parties might present as alternatives. And I think that is a concern that is that shows up across the political spectrum, that students are really thinking, this is the climate election, this is probably the last chance we have to put in a government that takes this seriously. And so that is, they are really thinking hard about this when deciding who to vote on.
Okay. Do you agree? What would you say are the top priorities for students in this election?
Generally, I don't really buy the idea that, you know, students have vastly different priorities to a lot of other people, especially the students who are sort of, you know, inclined towards party politics. But yeah, environment does figure. It's very, very important, especially to young people. You know, we're going to be here for a very long time, and we're going to have to deal with the consequences of climate change. I know a lot of people do focus on that. You know, there's, I think, the Green Party, one of their biggest voting blocks is students, and there are a lot of constituencies, especially in university towns like Cambridge, where the Green Party are going to massively outperform their national average just because of their climate focus. And, you know, personally, I think that's a good thing. Obviously, I'm party political, I'm a Lib Dem. I'm personally quite happy with the Lib Dem plan. Obviously, the 2045 limit is at the very latest. We have an 80% reduction in carbon emissions in the electricity generation field by 2030, which is almost on par with the Labour Party. We have 60 million trees being planted every year. We have an environmental duty of care for companies internationally, so they can't just offload their carbon emissions into other countries. And the Greenpeace rankings for the climate policies of each parties have, you know, the Lib Dems at 30 out of 40, which is the third highest. So I'm very proud to say that we are fighting the climate issue.
Okay, and yes, Carol.
I think, so as well as kind of Brexit and climate change, the other really big student priority in this election is funding, whether that's tuition fees, maintenance grants or maintenance loans, everything to do with accommodation, the price and the quality of accommodation, particularly in London. We've recently polled our students, and access to affordable and good quality accommodation is amongst one of the highest concerns UCL students have at the moment. And so it's all about kind of basic living. So do students have enough money to be able to comfortably live in the place that they're studying, and also about minimum wage as well, and London living wage, and making sure that employers pay London living wage if they're in London, or national living wage if they're outside of London as well.
Okay, so quite a range. And we've sort of skirted over it a little bit so far, but I am going to bring up the B word. So for Brexit, so I think this issue is particularly interesting actually for students or people of your age, because there are going to be a high number of people who will be able to vote on the 12th of December who couldn't vote in the 2016 EU referendum. So Jo, do you think that Brexit is a priority for students on your campus or students in general?
I think it's definitely up there. I mean, it's difficult to say as a whole student body what their top priority is, but I think for a lot of people it is, because, as you say, a lot of people in 2016 weren't able to vote in that referendum, or if they were able to vote, may have changed their minds or want to reinforce what already happened before. So it's definitely a big issue on campus. Obviously, in the last 3 years, particularly I know at my campus, there have been debates upon debates about the merits of leaving or staying in the European Union, but also people have seen the impacts already about what leaving the EU now looks like. So we've talked about international fees at our university and what that's going to mean, and what it's going to mean for our trainee doctors and where they're going to go and work, and what it's going to mean for our international students who want to stay in the country and, you know, offer their skills to the UK. So yes, I think it's a big issue. And I think also because Brexit touches on so many other things that it's almost inseparable from anything. So we're talking just now about how the climate is a big issue. Well, that's inseparable from Brexit, because there's so much we could do as part of the EU towards making sure our climate is better. We talk about things like student funding and like going abroad to study. Well, that's tied into Erasmus, which is part of the EU. So yes, I think it's a really big issue, but I don't think it's the only issue. I think just like any normal voter, students care about a lot of issues and you have to take it in the round, which is kind of why I hate the fact that people call this the Brexit election. Mm-hmm. So Sky News call it the Brexit election, The Sun calls it the Brexmas election, which is gross. And like to some extent it is, you can't get out of the shadow of Brexit, mm-hmm. but general elections, like everything is on the table, everything is up for grabs, and it's not just about what direction we're going to take Brexit in, it's about who are we going to trust for the next 5 years to change our country for the better. I don't think many students think things have got better in the last 10 years. I think for most of us, most of our like early political lives, it's been quite difficult for young people. So I think that, yes, again, like Brexit is a central issue, but actually we want a bit more than that. And I think that's why parties are making an effort to actually address those issues and not just focus on Brexit.
Okay. And Carol, so we do often hear that young people or students as a whole are very anti-Brexit. Is that your experience, or is it more sort of complex than that? Is it more divided on campus?
I think when you ask students about Brexit, you often have to clarify, as Jo said, what part of Brexit you're talking about. Because an issue which will particularly affect UCL if we are to leave the European Union is GDPR and information sharing between EU countries and ourselves, because that affects a lot of the research that happens. So a lot of the students who are in the later years of their kind of UCL education, particularly those in the biosciences, are particularly anti-Brexit because that could impact their research projects, their theses, all that kind of research stuff. And so that's kind of the exposure I've had to that. Typically, students are anti-Brexit, but we do have kind of pockets here and there of people who, like, you know, apparently for 51% of the UK who do agree with Brexit. So it is... You do see both sides across universities, I believe.
I
think 52. Oh, 52. Thank you.
That's very
thank
close.
You.
Have you wanted to just come in on that question?
Yeah, obviously, being a Lib Dem, you know, avowedly internationalist, avowedly pro-EU, I don't have a problem with that. Obviously, I'd be remiss not to point out the fact that obviously asking people at elite London universities whether they're pro or anti-Brexit isn't perhaps the most representative sample in the world, but I think also when I talk to other students, a lot of the issues around Brexit itself are different. Like when I go home, I'm from quite a leave voting area, people talk about, you know, a lot of the things that people like Nigel Farage talk about, sort of national sovereignty and taking back control and stuff like that. When you talk to students about Brexit, it is about the pragmatics. Will I be able to travel as much? Will I be able to get Erasmus funding? Will I be able to cooperate at other European universities? And how will this affect, you know, London's universities are, you know, have lots and lots of international students, lots and lots of EU students, and I think that really plays to us more than, you know, sort of abstract legalistic arguments about national sovereignty and taking back control.
And Bo, in terms of the climate issues, do you find you also end up talking a lot about Brexit and how that might affect any kind of climate policies going forward?
It's talked about a bit, and I think obviously there is a large part of it of how it affects our standing on the international stage. But really, I think it's while they are linked, it is the Brexit is more the issue within climate rather than climate being an issue within Brexit, because really it's about what party do you think, if any, is going to take the climate crisis seriously. And if you take the climate crisis seriously, then you'll likely take our standing on the international stage regarding the climate crisis seriously. But really, does a party recognise that this is the fundamental issue, that I think is a larger indicator of how effective they'll be with dealing with the climate crisis rather than their position on Brexit. Just about the makeup of, you know, universities and international students, I think that I definitely agree it gives international students and universities as a whole, you know through domestic students' interaction with international students, quite an internationalist outlook. And I think that has effects in ways that aren't fully appreciated. So, for example, Commonwealth students can vote, and even domestic students who can vote, you know, will be talking to lots of international students. And one of those main concerns is that when you're looking at the most developed countries and their action regarding climate change, that will have a huge effect on both the climate impacts and the economic welfare of the global south and of developing countries. The debate between 2050, 2045, 2030 deadlines is a crucial one for that, and I think that is appreciated by international students, particularly those from the global south, many of you may be from Commonwealth countries and can vote in this election. Because, you know, 2045 and 2050 deadlines are not enough for safety in the global south. The global south is already being harmed by the climate crisis. All we can do now is try and mitigate it as much as possible and help with adaption. And I think that plays very strongly in the minds of the international students and domestic students who will have interacted with many international students in their university lives.
Okay. So moving on a bit to what different political parties are promising, Carol, you sort of touched on this before, so I'm going to bring up tuition fees.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, so we've got the Labour Party and the Greens, who are the only parties offering to completely abolish tuition fees. Does that promise play well with students, or are we just making a big assumption that students want just freebies or whatever?
So I won't say that won't be welcomed by home students, but as UCL is one of the most global universities in the UK, I also represent a lot of international EU students, and so there will be concern on those from those students about whether their tuition fees would increase in order to maybe fill any gaps that would be left by potential government spending. But as a home student myself, I would really appreciate that. If there wasn't any more tuition fees, because as I mentioned earlier, the cost of living, is a huge priority for students, particularly in regards to maintenance loans and the lack thereof of maintenance grants and like bursaries and scholarships in universities. And so the lack of tuition fees would definitely be welcomed by home students, but there are concerns on the other side.
Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, I think the tuition fee debate is an interesting one because it's kind of just assumed that we'll stick free tuition fees in a manifesto and we'll automatically get the student vote. But from my own personal experience and also having worked on this quite a lot at my own university at Queen Mary, actually the bigger issue on campus is always students living in poverty. It's never about tuition fees being an overbearing burden on your back, because realistically, people know they're going to pay those off later on if they earn well enough, and if they don't, they're going to be written off. The problem is that our student financial support system was designed like 30, 40 years ago in a time where your student loan was supposed to cover you with your accommodation, your food, everything, your cost of living, without you having to go to work. The presumption was that you wouldn't have to go to work. And over the last few decades, the money's not increased in line with inflation at all. And it's now become the norm that students have one, two, perhaps even three jobs. And we're still using this outdated system where students are judged by the household income of their parents, quite often not taking into account what their parents' outgoings are, how many children they're already supporting. And it means that there's an expectation on parents to sort of top up their child's income, because the state is pulling back and saying, no, actually, you can only have 5,000 rather than 11,000. But parents aren't informed of that expectation. And more importantly, most of them can't meet it. So we have so many students on campus who, you know, I know everyone has this perception of, you know, students eating beans on toast all the time. But actually, like, it's getting to more like a welfare issue now, like where students don't go to the dentist, they can't afford it, or they'll skip picking up their prescriptions because there isn't enough money in their account. Like, it's not like students are going out and buying bottles of Smirnoff every day. Like, there are people that are rationing things that are fundamental to their health. And I think that's what's really important. And I'm disappointed, even as a Labour Party member, to see that actually no political party is talking about student poverty at all. And it seems that every election we go through, widening participation funding and funding to keep people in university once they're there just decreases all the time. And that's why you see people dropping out quite a lot, mostly because of financial problems, which then impacts on their mental health and so on. I just think it's really disappointing that it always comes down to, oh, free tuition fees or not, really.
And that's interesting. So it's sort of a bit of an easy win when there's a lot more complicated issues going on.
It's just a lick of paint on the surface. It's not really getting to the underneath issue. Is that if you want to keep students in university, particularly those from disadvantaged backgrounds, you've got to give them enough money to live off. If you look at the maximum maintenance loan you can get, it's about £11,700 in London, but that's less than you would get on the national minimum wage full time, and we don't expect people on the national minimum wage full time to survive on that money either, because we're campaigning for the living wage and the government tops it up in benefits and universal credit. So students are expected to live on even less than that and work and still succeed quite a lot at university, and it's a difficult mix for people to balance.
Well, it's a brilliant point. You know, university students, most are full time students, that is their full time occupation, and I take the view that a lot of them have such intense courses that they shouldn't have to work. Obviously, the tuition fee debate is something completely different. I do agree that when I speak to students, a lot of them don't necessarily feel that the biggest burden on them is the fact that, you know, so many years down the line, above a certain rate, they'll have to start paying off their student loan. I disagree with how much interest is charged on those student loans. I wish there was party policy to reduce that, and I obviously support the Lib Dem policy to reintroduce maintenance grants to make sure that students aren't going into poverty. Obviously, I'm very lucky to go to a university which has a very, very robust widening participation scheme and very large bursaries and income support for students who aren't well off, but I think that needs to be expanded, and that's one of the things that actually tuition fees helps, because universities have guaranteed income from tuition fees and therefore can support extra bursaries. And the head of social mobility at King's, a lovely woman called Anne-Marie Canning, wrote a brilliant article in The Guardian about how tuition fees actually help widening participation students by guaranteeing income based on, you know, student per head for universities.
Okay, great. Some really good points. So just while we're on the political parties and sort of what they're offering, probably going to ask this to everybody, is there one party that you think will be the favourite, no matter your own personal preferences, do you think there's a clear one party that will attract the most student votes? So I'll start with Bo.
Likely it will be Labour, you know, for all the obvious reasons, just that's historically how students have voted. But I think students are really thinking quite a lot about the choice of voting at university or at home, and whether there's a swing seat here or there.
Mm-hmm.
And particularly, you know, there's a lot of students, and a lot of students who've come down from Scotland or from elsewhere in the UK, where there's a whole bunch of different decisions. And I think people are really thinking hard about, in their local constituencies, what candidate is going to take the climate crisis seriously, what candidate is going to take all the other issues they care about seriously. So I think while likely they will probably get the most votes, I think it's students are very much not a monolith, and they are really thinking hard about, in their constituencies that they can vote in, what candidates will represent them best.
Okay. Joe, any thoughts?
Yeah, I think it's probably right to say that I think it probably will be Labour, but I don't think you should take students as a sort of homogenous group. I mean,
sure.
I have the privilege of working in my students' union bar, so I overhear and participate in a lot of conversations about the general election. And, you know, maybe like 10 years ago, and I wasn't working there then, but maybe 10 years ago there was quite a big student vote for the Liberal Democrats because of tuition fees and such, and perhaps that's less now because of their involvement in the coalition. But then, you know, 3-4 months ago, when the Liberal Democrats were very clear about having a second referendum, so this was before they had their revoke policy, I think students were like really, really like interested in that. And that was before the Labour Party was at a place where it was actually going to offer a second referendum for definite, and way before it was in its manifesto. So I think on the whole, now, probably Labour. I think students probably see that as the biggest opportunity to stop a Conservative government. I think that's, or at least curtail one as much as possible, and I think the polling shows that. And I think that it's interesting because I think people generally perceive young people to be disengaged. I think Jesmania may have had something to do with that last time round. I don't think it's as prevalent this time. But I don't think that sort of attitude has changed. I think people are really, really considering who's going to deliver what I want or how can I stop this result. So actually people really considering how our voting system works and how to get the best out of it. So for example, Queen Mary University is in Bethnal Green and Bow, which is a pretty safe Labour seat. Or most of our students live there, or they live in Poplar and Limehouse, again, a very safe Labour seat. So our recommendation most of the time has been you should probably register to vote and vote at home. So I come from Truro in Falmouth, which is a marginal seat in Cornwall. So that's where I voted because my vote could make a big difference. And I think in the past that was quite a difficult concept to explain to people that your vote was worth more in one place or another. But I think probably actually because of like the re-engagement we've had in the last couple of years and because it's been so prevalent on the news, people are really considering who they vote for and when they vote and how they vote. I think it's really, really important.
I'll just explain here, so you both have mentioned it, but just for all of our listeners to be clear, students can register to vote in their hometown and also in the town where they're studying. Which means, as Joe was talking about, you can be a bit tactical about how you vote. You can see if you've got a hometown marginal seat, as Joe was saying, then your vote has more power there. And so you can be tactical. And it's interesting that both Joe and Beau have brought that up. So, Atiyab, is that something you hear a lot as well? Are students thinking very tactically?
Well, obviously, I think, you know, students skew left and students skew radical. I think there was a joke that Christopher Hitchens told that when he was at Oxford, he had a friend who was a member of the Communist Party, which made her the most right-wing person in Oxford at the time. Generally looking at the polls, students will generally vote for the Labour Party. That's just how it's been. The Lib Dems, from what I've seen, are actually higher than the Conservatives. So actually, it's completely flipped around when you look at the student vote versus the national vote. Why that is, obviously, we've discussed earlier. Tactical voting will play a big part in this election. One of the big things, obviously, was the Remain Alliance, where the Green Party have a strong student vote, but in quite a few constituencies, they've stood down for the Lib Dems or for Plaid Cymru, so that will have an effect. I think tactical voting is important, and now that we do have the ability to register at home and register at university, that means people can really choose where they vote. Unfortunately for me, my home is a safe Conservative seat and my uni seat is a safe Labour seat, so I don't really get much of a choice. But there are lots of students. I have friends who live in back at home, live in places like Wokingham or Esher and Walton, and both are Tory seats, and these people skew Labour but are actually going to vote for the Liberal Democrat Party to take out, you know, prominent Tory Brexiteers. I know some people who at home are doing the opposite. They're going to vote Labour to keep out Tories even though they skew Lib Dems. So I think that will be a very important effect in this election.
Okay. Carol, is that also something you've come across a lot?
Yes, yeah, so something just to build on the points that I believe everyone's already made, is that so rather than students or just young people in general voting for a particular party, they are more likely to vote against or vote for the party that's most likely to kick out the Conservatives. It's something that's very prevalent on social media as well. Tactical voting, I don't particularly like the term tactical because it implies kind of, there are often also negative connotations in the media at the moment about tactical voting, which I think are unwarranted. Because there's also, as a student representative, I've also been asked about whether students are going to be more likely to commit electoral fraud. I've had those kind of questions when attached to questions on tactical voting. But I do think that a lot of students, as well as thinking about what party would most represent them and their interests, they also have a further consideration of who's most likely to win out of the parties who are going against the Conservatives in their areas.
Yeah. Okay. Just to point out that although, of course, students can register in two different places, they can, of course, only vote once. Just make that clear.
Yeah. And most of them don't commit electoral fraud, only
yeah.
any.
Yeah, yes, we're not suggesting that at all. Okay, and a final question. How will students be watching the election results? Will there be big student election parties? Carol, what's going on at your campus?
So at Students Union UCL, one of our bars will be open throughout the night. We're currently applying for the extension for our licence. And so we do this for US elections, for the US Super Bowl, and so we also do them for the general elections because it's a really important night. Students want to stay up and watch as all the constituency results come in. So we just drink to celebrate or commiserate, who knows?
Great, well that sounds good either way.
Yeah.
The bar's there, so.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you. So I think that's just about all we have time for today. So thank you to Joe Vinson, to Atya Rashid, Carol Page and Beau Jacobstrom. Thanks very much for your input. And thank you to all of the THE listeners. Do check our website, timeshighereducation.com, for more general election news and, of course, the weekly magazine.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.